Well, this morning we're doing something a little bit different than what we normally do. In fact, the last time we did this was 20 years ago. We are launching within NLCF our Ripple Capital campaign this morning. Woot. We got a couple of woots. That's right. For the people that feel like, great, especially like if it's your first time, you're like, oh, all churches do is talk about money. I can promise you that if your version of always talk about money is you talk about it and you do something like this once every 20 years, then yes, we do. But what we're, and we really kind of reflected on, do we share it here? What kind of different places do we share it in? And one, it's hard to get all of NLCF together. So that's one thing. But the other thing is this, what we're talking about this morning, even though we're talking about raising money, we are talking about doing that towards the vision that we believe that God has given us. There's sometimes he gives us something that is so big that we just can't get to it under our normal conditions. And so we're going to be doing that. But before we do, I just wanted to mention something. Earlier this morning, our New Life congregation, our community congregation, for those of you that are familiar with it, was protested. There was a group that came and they were protesting abortion, which I don't know what their stance is. So, but I can't imagine there'd be a lot of disagreement. But they were protesting that, and then they found out that we have women pastors like Crystal, like Jeanette, like Wendy over at New Life, and so they started protesting that, and they were protesting it with a bullhorn, standing on the sidewalk, looking into the window of New Life. And now we understand there are people in this room that have different theological perspectives about different things like that, and we can talk about any of that. But please let me be clear. The point is that we talk about it. When you grab a megaphone and you point it at a window, you stopped talking. All right, so we don't need to say this. Crystal doesn't need me to say this to affirm what the Spirit has done in her. Wendy doesn't need us to do that to affirm what the Spirit has done in her, or Jeanette, or any other woman that God might be raising this similar thing up in. But you should know that as we're navigating things like this, we should be able to do it in love. We can be clear about what we think. That's fine. But let's do it in love, all right? So if you hear about it, that's what was going on. The New Life congregation handled it. Wendy had to preach while she was being protested. So just pray for her. That can't be easy. As a guy, I've never faced that in my life. I don't know what that's like. Just had to say that. Okay. Ripple.
Yes.
Yeah. There we go.
What an easy transition.
Yeah, then. Yeah. That that first thing that I was going to say, just move on.
No, that's good. It's good. And I would just affirm what Jim said as far as encouraging us as a church, knowing that the New Life congregation is a part of who we are and that we would join them in prayer this morning as well.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to introduce us. This is us, right? This is NLCF. This is where you find yourself seated. This was taken at Fall Retreat. And this is all who we've ever been. Over the last 30 years, NLCF has always been predominantly a group of young people, 18 to 24-year-old typically, who are just gathering together, seeking to live out our faith, to navigate new challenges, to discover who we are as we're made in God's image, and to live in that reality equipped, living into this thing of believing that Jesus is the Christ, seeking to become more like him, and through that, living into the mission of being a blessing to one another as well as our neighbors and the people around us. This phrase, this is us, is not an insignificant thing. The reality of it is that we've always just acknowledged this is just who we are. We don't seek to be more than that, but we know that there is power and there's encouragement in who NLCF has been.
Yeah, and if you look at this slide, the next one. There we go. So what we have is just a very brief history of NLCF over the last 30 years. We are 30 years old, people. Yeah, that's right. I take that if someone says I'm 30, that's really a compliment for many of you in the room. Maybe not so much so, but that's all right. We don't have time to go through each of the things on here, but What we do want to mention is that this has been a place that the things that we are doing through the Ripple campaign, we have done all of them before. And what we're trying to do is just honor God with the way we move through them now. One of the things that's important about us as a congregation is that if we don't grow every single year, then we shrink every single year. There's no staying in the middle with us because so many people graduate and leave every single year, right? So if we don't grow in 4 or 5 years, we're closed. But what God has been able to do, this is not because we're spectacular as leaders or we have fantastic technology or whatever it is. What God has done through us, is he's raised up a group of people that haven't only just held their own, they've thrived. We've been able to start other churches and we're ready to start another one again. We have been able to incubate other places that are trying to do the same thing. We have been able to start other congregations and we've been able to do all kinds of stuff within this congregation itself. This is what God is doing here and we are so excited about it.
Yeah, we praise the Lord for that. And the reality is that even through 30 years of change, as NLCF, like he said, consistently looks different from year to year. Some things have remained constant. Those things include, and this is who NLCF is. This is our DNA, our commitment to evangelism and discipleship. If you get to know NLCF, if you're a part of NLCF and you know anything about it, you can see that these commitments are reality in everything that we do, from the way that we equip, the way that we do our engage groups and our families, the way that we seek to just invest in the sense of spring breaks and summertime. We are committed to these realities. The other commitment that we have is our commitment to mobilization and church planting. And how obvious is that? And the fact that we're standing on the shore of sending out the storehouse church plant.
Which?
Yeah, absolutely. And really capitalizing on this reality of, yes, every 4 years, people are graduating. At the same time, every 4 years, people are being sent out into new places. And so we have the ability to send folks with a mission, send folks with some resources and tools under their tool belt. We also are committed to our dependence on God, which as a church, I would hope that that would be the reality. But we are dependent on God and these things that our DNA brings up, and operating with our commitments in the face of just having a restricted budget. We get that the majority of our church is college students. And so God has been faithful in that over and over again. We also are here, we can move to the next slide. NLCF has been here for over 30 years for two reasons. We love this people and we love this place. For many of the college students, in my own experience, and maybe you're feeling this right now, but generally, college is the time in our lives where we all end up deciding who we are, what we're going to believe, who we're going to follow, and we begin establishing those habits here and now that, for most of us, will be the trend that we carry and live into for the rest of our lives. It begins here. I know that for me, college, honestly, was some of the hardest years of my life up to this point. I had a significant loss in my family. And God used NLCF to be a place where I was grounded, that through kind of this whirlwind of life, it was a place that was sure and true and that invited me to really live into every single week and throughout the week, not just this thing of like, I love God and I'm joyful and everything's great, but to bring that sense of worship while simultaneously acknowledging I'm in anguish and I am really hurting here. And God used NLCF to come around me and to shape my faith in ways that I couldn't even describe in the next 5 seconds. So, but we are here because we're committed and we sense that God is doing something. Another reason why we're here is as a matter of being obedient to the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Jesus said he commanded all of his people to go and make disciples, to baptize, to teach, to be faithful to advancing the kingdom of God. And so we know that that is very much a part of who he has called us to be as NLCF. And so we are seeking to do some of our most important work, which is being obedient to the commission to raise up workers for the field and to equip them to go.
But as we're trying to do that, I mean, there's certain things that just affect what you're trying to do. NLCF now and NLCF 24 years ago when I first came on staff is a different place. It's in a lot of ways. A couple of the things that are key in this are some of these facts. The number of young people involved in the Christian church is steadily decreasing, both in percentages as well as meaningful measures of faith. And also, the church has lost ground and lost touch with emerging generations for the past 80 years. And that's becoming more rapid with each successive generation. You guys, a lot of the generations that a lot of you are referred to as the lost or the missing generations. The reality is the cultural perspective that we have has changed. And so a lot few of you are seeing the value of coming, of seeing the value of some of these other, you know, getting connected with other Christians, all of these different things that we do. It's just the statistical reality. So what do we do about that? I mean, there's sometimes, you know, the tendency can be to maybe want to just pretend it's not there or to kind of rage against culture. I mean, I have the chance to consult with other churches and coach other pastors, and that's an easy kind of default to go to. But culture isn't necessarily automatically good or bad. It's just a series of decisions that people make in close proximity to each other, and sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not, and our culture is on the swing away from God right now. But there are a few things that we can do. We can take to heart the changes in the cultural shift away from the church. We can realize it's a thing. It's not dangerous in that the church has faced lots more significant challenges over the years, and the Spirit seems to navigate it fine. So we can do that. Take to heart those things. Multiply a higher number of smaller communities. That's what we've started doing about 10 years ago. We shifted the way we do things a little bit so that we can have more opportunities spread out wider. Instead of making something that's really big in the center and on Sunday, we try to spread it out during the week and have a lot of things going on. Focus on building what is easily translatable wherever people go. The reality is this: most of you in this room will not be sitting in this room in 4 years or 5 years. You'll be going somewhere else. You all have left the area. Now, there'll be some, I believe, that you are going to. God's going to have you stay, either to work in the area or go on staff with us, and we support that. But the reality is most of you aren't. And so if the things that we are discipling you into, the things that we're teaching, if they only work in a situation like this, in a place like here, then it doesn't really help you after school. The things that you are learning and being discipled in, they have to be able to be easily moved somewhere else. And so that's, we believe they are. And then the last thing is to dive deep into community. The reality is this: in a culture where fewer and fewer people see value in following Jesus and less credibility to people like us that are leaders in a church, the answer is you. It's people being able to be around followers of Jesus and see that there's credibility in their life and they don't have everything put together. Gosh, like Isabel so powerfully just said this morning. But that we're living out an authentic life. That's how I came to Christ. That's a big part of how I came to Christ. There's a guy, Brendan Jeffries, a lot of you might know him. He graduated about a year and a half ago, and he was a part of NLCF most of his time at Tech, I believe. And he was not a follower of Jesus. He was a part of small groups. He invited people to stuff. He just didn't follow Jesus too. He came to him. He lived with five other guys from NLCF, some that were leaders, and he just wasn't a follower of Jesus. And they shared with him, and they prayed with him, and they prayed for him, and all of this. That wasn't a step he was willing to take until he was. Being around community was the thing that kind of helped him see the validity of faith. And so then when he did come to Christ, and Johnny, you were there. I think you and I might be the only two that are still around. That when he did it with his whole apartment around him. There were seven or eight of us in the room, and just we were all thanking God for the things that he had done. We were all asking God for forgiveness. And he accepted faith. He started walking with Jesus within community, the way that he had come to the point of being ready to. We got to dive deep into community. It's just the way that we have to do it. Now, okay, here's the reason that we're talking about Ripple specifically. Because those things that we just talked about, they're not new. Here's why we're talking about Ripple specifically. First, in the last 2 years, our rental costs have increased 124.6% in our 130 Jackson Street location. 124.6%. You may not know that much about finances, but I think you can recognize that's a lot of percents. All right? We don't have room in the budget for important leadership development resources. We've always had to kind of make, you know, things work with how, you know, with what God brings. We've said this so many times. It's just all of us doing the little bit that we can. But we feel like we're at a stage where we're ready to start building out some of these things. And then lastly, in spite of all this, we're ready to plant again. We're ready to plant again. Again, this isn't a place that's just held on like grim death, you know, we just won't go away. We've grown, we've expanded, we've planted things off of ourselves, and we're about to do it again. Now, here is how Ripple works, okay? Now, when we're talking about Ripple and a capital campaign, for those of you that this is kind of a new concept, let me make sure we're talking about the same thing together. There are two ways that NLCF gets money, okay? Let's just cannonball right into money talk, all right? Feels weird, let's just do it, all right? The first is when you give, like here, you know, Venmo, through Facebook, through e-giving, through actually dropping money for those who want to go old school in the bucket as you leave. And that stuff goes. That's for people that you've been a part of things here for a while. You feel like this is the place that you come. You feel connected here. That what the scripture would say is you need to look at how can you give, even if it's just a little bit. That stuff goes to the regular stuff that we need to do every month. It goes to pay rents. It goes to pay our electric bill. It goes to the ministry things that we do, our ability to bless people when they come in August with, you know, I don't even know how many pizzas we buy. We buy a lot of pizzas. We buy a lot of hamburger. We buy a lot of stuff. It's our ability to do things, the resources that we have to develop leaders. All of that costs money. That stuff is paid there. Ripple is different. Ripple is something additional that we're doing for the next 36 months. Here's what Ripple goes to. First, a new building renovation. All right, as we're moving from 130 Jackson, we're in the final stages of locking down a building that's 1.2 miles down Main Street. So it's not quite as close. That's just because you can't get anything that's that close. And it's three buildings, it's a campus, it doubles our space, it stretches us a little bit financially, but we believe that this is the place that God has for us. It's going to take some renovation work, and that money adds up crazy fast. The second is leadership development. I mentioned that we're going to be able to build out some of the structures that we use that help you to be able to figure out how you're gifted and how you can start using those gifts. One of the ways we've described ourselves for a long time is that we're a teaching hospital. And so it allows us to do that better. The last thing is the Penn State Church plant. All right, the first few years that they're there, they're not going to be bringing in money for a lot of the things that are going to cost money. And so part of the sending church's responsibility, I believe, is to help them in those first few years. So those are the three things that we're going to really focus on.
And so that means that we have a goal set before us. And so in total, our goal is to raise $515,000. That might feel like a lot, so let's break it down. We'll go slow, okay? We're seeking to raise $85,000 for our Penn State Church plant, right? They need some upfront costs. They need some things to have as a backing as they're getting started and building a church and congregation of their own, who they're also going to be walking through the discipleship of stewardship and giving. Another $150 for our leadership development resources and opportunities. And then the last bit is $280,000 for these new building renovations. That might feel like a lot. Anybody watch HGTV? Anyone? Okay, one person watches HGTV. All right, in my experience of watching HGTV, you don't know what's behind the walls until you actually start getting into it, right? And then all of a sudden, it's like right before the contractor calls the you know, homeowner is like, you're gonna need to get here quick. And then it cuts to commercial and you're like, what's going on? Right? So all of that being said, we want to make sure, what's going on? We want to make sure that we're prepared, okay? When we took over 130 Jackson 15 years ago, the bones were good. Our original budget for that space was $30,000 for it to be done over the course of 3 months, right?
Oh my gosh.
3 years later, $320,000 later, we were able to open the doors 15 years ago, right? Yep. And when you go in there, it looks great, but it's not like shining or anything like that. It's not anything extravagant. It just costs more money than we were anticipating. And so what that caused us to do is to have to go into savings, go into kind of be more mindful with our annual budgets. And so we're just trying to learn from that experience as we're applying to our now where we are. So here's how we see that happening. Our goal is to raise $115,000 within New Life Christian Fellowship. This includes our NLCF congregation as well as our New Life congregation, all right? I got to let you guys know, we started talking with the staff of the church in December. In January, we talked with our engaged group leaders, your peers, the people who are in the same boat as you. Between those two groups alone, we've reached 68% of our New Life Christian Fellowship goal.
Yep.
That's huge.
That's worth
yeah.
a woo. That's
it
worth
is,
a woo.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. But that still means that we have about 32% to go. Okay. So we're not finished. And we're still talking with people and still in the midst of that. But what we also are going to be doing is we have a goal to raise $150,000 within our parent and alumni family in that space. And then also over the course of the summer, what we're going to do is from those first two areas, we're going to ask, we have a couple relationships with some folks who are interested in partnering with what we're doing. We're going to go to them and ask, would you match these commitments that have come from these two other spaces? What you have the ability to do is to increase the challenge for these other groups to step up to. And I think that is just such an amazing opportunity that we have.
It's true. I'll share this, that if you think that that amount of money for the renovation is a lot, we spent between $70,000 and $80,000 in 130 Jackson with putting supports under the floor, so that it doesn't fall when we put the numbers of people in there that we do. That's not something that you probably notice, but you may have noticed you haven't fallen through the floor. So that's like a win, right? No one has fallen through the floor, not just you guys. And so, you know, that's how it adds up. Now we will, this new space, we'll be able to get into it much faster than 130 Jackson, hopefully even by fall, dare we dream. And so so we wanna look at how you can help. Okay, here's what we're asking you to do. And this scripture from 2 Corinthians 8, you've probably heard us say it 15 times, and by the time we're done with this thing, you're going to be so sick of it. And we don't even care, because this is the thing that we need to understand as a group. Sometimes when people talk about money, it comes with guilt and shame and pressure and no. We've never done that here, and there's no reason to start now. Look at what it says. It says, once the commitment is clear, you do what you can, not what you can't. The heart regulates the hands. This isn't so others can take it easy while you sweat it out. No, you're shoulder to shoulder with them all the way. Your surplus matching their deficit, their surplus matching your deficit. In the end, you come out even. As it is written, nothing left over for the one with the most, nothing lacking for the one with the least. And this is Paul not just talking about capital campaigns, even though he was raising money for some poor churches at the time. This is how we live our life. This is how we live our faith. So if you have the ability to give a lot, that's great. If you have the ability to give zero, that's fine. Everybody, all we want you to do is to look to see, what do I believe God is calling me to do? And then we can help with that. Some people, as we've been talking with them, they're not even sure how to navigate a question like that. That's not a question that's kind of come up between them and God. We can help with that too, all right? The reason that we're doing this is we're asking everyone within New Life Christian Fellowship and among our parent and alumni family to prayerfully consider pledging to give monthly for 36 months. The reason that we're asking for 36 months is this. Most capital campaigns, they would go 6 months to a year. And the idea is that you would have $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 that within 6 months to a year you can give. So everyone that that applies to, you can see Crystal and I afterwards and we'll get you squared away, all right? But most people, including my family who's contributing to this, we don't have that kind of money liquid. We're investing in tuitions right now. We're heavily, heavily investing in tuitions. And that's fine. So what we do is we look at, what do you think you can do? What do you think you're capable of? And then can you give that for 36 months? Let me show you. We have a slide that kind of helps you see how some of this plays out. All right, now I apologize for the weird numbers on this far left-hand side, but it makes nice numbers on the other side. Just take a look at this, okay? If you were to give $28 a month, and that's $112 a semester. The reason we put that in is because we know a lot of you are in a position where in the summer, you try to jack up your savings as high as you can, and you just get it right there, and then you kind of start spending through it, you know, through fall semester, and then maybe there's a little blip, you know, at Christmas, and then you go, and then it's just the trudge, you know, towards the end of May, and you hope that you get to the end of May before you get to the end of savings, and it's just kind of watching that number. And so if you're in that position, which I was when I went to Tech, then that would be $112 a semester that you would be giving. If you give that for 36 months, you will have contributed $1,000 to the campaign. I mean, some people have been able to give more, and so we have other numbers like that. We have other people that can't give that. $28 is just not realistic for them, and that is fine. We've had people contribute $5 and $10 and $15 and $20, and we've had people go over $28. NLCF, the only thing we've ever done is take what we have and pool it together, whether it's finances or giftings or faith or whatever. We just take it, we take the little bit that we have and we pool it. That's why we're calling this the Ripple Campaign. It's just, you imagine dropping a rock in a body of water and just that little rock, when it drops in there, the ripple that can form out from there is much bigger than the size of the rock. See, that's what we do. If it was people were dropping $50,000 and $70,000, we'd call it the Big Boulder Campaign. And that would be cool, but I don't think that's what we were. Ripples. We're pebbles. We're doing a little bit. Everybody in here thinking about what can you do, not expecting everyone else to handle it for you, just going before God and asking, what would you have me do? And then doing that. If it's zero, praise God. That's fine. There will come times in your life where you can do things. Maybe this isn't it. If it's just a little bit, praise God. If it's a lot, praise God.
So we just wanted to show you what it could look like. On the NLCF website, we have a specific Ripple campaign site that's allocated for it. So this is the URL. It's live now. We have people who have already gone to it, signed up, are giving, and already their 36 months has begun. And it's been awesome just to see this. But if you go to it and you click the donate button on the NLCF site, it'll take you to this page. This is just a screenshot of what you'll see. It walks you through how to sign up. One of the differences with this campaign as opposed to kind of our annual giving is with Sundays, you have the ability to give, like Jim mentioned, Venmo, Facebook, in the buckets, that kind of stuff. We're trying to, with the Ripple campaign, consolidate it all into one space for the reason of we love our finance team.
Yes, we don't want to drive them crazy.
Right, right. Yeah. So this is going to be a little bit different. Maybe you're already giving through the e-giving website. But if you're not, we're going to invite everybody to go ahead and visit this here. And should you choose to sign up, which we hope you'll consider doing, this is how you're going to do it. So it even makes it easy in some cases. You know, you'll see that number, that $1,000 total for $2,778 a month. You'll say, I can do that. I'm going to do it. You just click that tab and it'll get you signed up. There's a couple more steps to it, but maybe that's not it. There is still another option. If you say, you know, I could do $500 over the course of 36 months, you can click that. Now, if these kind of odd numbers give you a little bit of agita, like it does for me, I try as much as I can to budget, especially for the things I'm giving to, in whole numbers. Look, there's an option for that. This other amount, I'm going to raise my hand, da-da-da. Either way, whatever you feel like is you can actually do, there's a way to do it, okay? So it is live, and if you're ready, feel free to just go. sign up, and we'll follow up on the back end of things with you. And if you're not, we want to sit down and talk with you, okay? The reality is that the Ripple campaign only happens if we do this together. And so what we're asking every single one of you that's in here this morning is to consider, what's your part? Okay, this might mean for some looking at things and getting creative with how you're spending your money. It might mean talking with parents. It might mean to just spend some time in prayer and say, God, what would you lead me to that I feel like maybe I can't do, but he would speak and say, this is mine. Your finances are mine. Let me show you what I'm doing here and what I'm going to do through you. Okay? So we're going to take a couple minutes. I want to point out a couple things. If you go ahead and grab your bulletin now, I'm going to point out a few things for us here. This year is for you to take home with you. It has everything, every little bit of information that we've talked about. It has the website on the back. It has Jim and my contact information. Please take this home with you and really do look it over. Spend some time just considering what is your part, okay? What we're going to do now is we're going to take a couple minutes. This other thing, it says Ripple on the top. It looks a little bit like our regular Connect card. We're even just going to take a few minutes now to go ahead and fill this out. All that we're asking is not that you would say, I'm ready. Let me sign up. Point me to it. But we're asking that you would be willing to sit down, regardless of what your leaning is at this point, just sit down with Jim or I to talk about what this could look like. Okay? And so what we want you to do, we'll take a few minutes now, is to fill it out. Your contact information, check whatever boxes you need to, okay? And then when you're finished, if you could pass them towards the center, just of your aisle, you don't have to skip over aisles, and then our hospitality folks at the end of the next couple minutes are going to come through and pick these up, and then we'll pray, and then we'll keep moving on with our service.
God, as we try to move into this this season of this Ripple campaign, God, I pray that you would not let us go too far on either side, where we just say, this is uncomfortable, so I don't want to think about it at all, or where we get fixated on it and turn it into an idol. Lord, we just acknowledge the only thing that we need is you. We believe you are calling us to do these things. So Lord, help us to honor you with the way that we go through the process. Help us to honor you with the way that we handle the different pieces of it. Lord, we just want to honor you. Help us to do that, Lord, please. God, we love you. We are grateful for you. Amen.